This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We have a multitude of insurance needs. Purdy Insurance handles them all, and they also do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. Go with the pros, the best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Someone I had the privilege of working with for a long period of time, and he's just an absolute gem, both on and off the air, and that is Thomas Frank Carr. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, you always make me blush. Always glad to be here. Thank you for that kind introduction.
And he's feeling great because the Bills did play well last night, so it's a plus.
Yeah.
I saw the game. You look good.
Yeah, and they like doing things that they need to do to be good this year, including running the football. So I'm not used to that. I'm used to Josh Allen having to go superhero, but he did. It was terrible for my fantasy team because I have Josh Allen. But when James Cook looks like that, I don't care. Like that's a recipe for this team to actually be good this year, despite some of the thoughts that they're not going to be. So anyway, you got me started. I could talk all day about that. So, and I know that's not what I'm here for.
Right. But by the way, it should be pointed out, if you have, I'm not a fantasy player. Never have been, but quarterbacks are a different ride for you, everybody, right now, because only two of them have had 300 yard passing games. So that's it.
Yeah.
Two, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You've done film study and you do it every week on this team and breakdowns on this team to this point. So let's start with the defensive side of the ball. In a tale of two halves that saw Connor Bazelak go 13 of 15 in the first half, and to the credit of Bowling Green, they go out and they rack up 21 points in the first half. And then in the second half, had 89 yards total and 41 in the last drive. What differences did you see in the film breakdown?
It's a great question. There's a couple of things that happen, but the first thing and the most important thing, James Franklin talked about it, is they did not play well in the first half. So people were wondering coming out of that, is there some sort of template to beat Penn State and to get yards of the Penn State defense? Yes and no. If they play certain coverages and they play them in a certain way that they have so far this season, yeah, everyone knows how to beat man coverage and press man coverage, which is what Bowling Green did, which is they were running a lot of slants, a lot of rub routes, a lot of things in third and short to get conversions, and then just winning in one-on-one situations. But in the second half, the defensive line played better. They woke up, they shut down the running game. I think it was 2.5 yards per carry, which includes quarterback runs in that situation. And I know Connor Bazelak had a designed run that went for about 11 yards. If you look at like the standard running game with the running backs, there was nothing in the second half because specifically Penn State defensive tackles played so much better in the second half. They controlled the defensive line, which is what we expected coming into the game. So when you're not in third and short, you can't use some of those techniques and tactics they used in the first half in order to get those quick passing completions, and so the ball had to stay in the pocket a little bit longer, and then Penn State's defensive line was able to get pressure. So it's all connected, and they also did a couple of things from a schematic perspective of actually disguising coverages and making it a little bit harder on Connor Bazelak. And then again, those the indecision of holding onto the football caused more opportunities to get to the football for the secondary, leading those big interceptions that ended the game for the Nittany Lions.
The tackling part of it, normally I feel, I don't care what level, the NFL, college, even high school, that right around the start of game three is when I start to feel like I'm seeing across the board in general better tackling. Yet the odd part is that Penn State tackled really well in the West Virginia game. How surprising was it, the tackling in game two?
Yeah. Well, I think that's partly, as Jane Franklin called it, moving parts, because KJ Winston didn't play in the second half. I don't think he was totally healthy going into the game. Just watching him, he is usually an explosive, dynamic player, and he just seemed a little tentative. So that's just my observation of watching him over the years. He's the team's best tackler. And when you lose him, it forces Jalen Reed to go back and play safety, which puts Cam Miller into the slot as the nickel defender. And that was not a recipe for Penn State to have a whole lot of success, because that cascading effect of losing your best tackler, putting your second best run defender away from the football and adding in guys who aren't as big and aren't as strong or as physical was part of the problem. And then Tony Rojas, who's had his own issues tackling, he also left for the first half, came back in the second half, and despite what looked like he couldn't take contact from offensive linemen, still played pretty well. But I think the linebackers and some of the depth players struggled without Kobe King and Tony Rojas on the field, which was the case at the end of the first half, which allowed some of those explosive runs. So they settled down after halftime, but I do think it losing those players had an effect that caused that as much as the team has tackling issues. I think there's a little bit of that, but it's not as dramatic as it might seem based on the fact that you lose a guy like KJ Winston, who I think has missed two tackles in 3 years at Penn State.
Which then flips us to the other side. You've had two games now to look at Drew Aller playing quarterback in this offense of Andy Koltynicki. What are your thoughts on his play?
I love it. It's everything I've wanted to see from Drew Aller. Yes, there are some mistakes. The interception in the end zone was a mistake, a misread coverage, and a great job by Bowling Green of reading that situation and putting the offense in an unexpected situation with a coverage defender dropping out of his assignment to go read the play. That was a really good play by that defensive back. But generally, Aller has been decisive of when to run, when to throw. He's maintained his ability to read a defense, but he's more confident and he's throwing with more conviction, which means he's throwing much farther down the field. I'm actually right now in the middle of writing an article about some of the differences from last year to this year, and the numbers are shocking. So PFF tracks average depth of target, how far down the field you're throwing the football on average. Last season through two games, it was 5.9 yards. This year, it's double that, 12.4 yards down the field. So maybe the accuracy and the completion percentage look different, but the efficiency, the explosiveness, even the on-target passes that aren't being completed. You think about the Trey Wallace play where that ball is on the receiver's frame and it's broken up. Amari Evans, 54 air yards, and he throws it down to the goal line on target, and of course Amari Evans pushes off on that play. And then James Franklin talked about this. I broke this one down in detail at Thomas Frank Carr on Twitter. He had two third down conversions of 9 and 14 yards that were erased by penalties and drops.
Right.
So his decision making, his aggressiveness, his accuracy, for the most part, there's always a couple clunkers with him every once in a while. But overall, I love the way he's playing. This is, and if he continues to play like this, and that's a big caveat because the schedule's obviously going to get more difficult. If he continues to play like this, this is a draftable quarterback. And with his skills, I think that means that's a first-round draft pick as a quarterback, with the massive caveat that he has to do this against Big Ten opponents. But as far as what he's done, it's everything I've wanted to see from him from a confidence and execution standpoint.
It's interesting, on first down against Bowling Green, Penn State had 30 first down plays and gained 313 yards in the game. That's on first down plays. That's not bad. Penn State was 2 of 9 on third down in the game after going 5 for 11 against West Virginia. I know part of it was penalties, as you just played out, that took away two first downs on third down plays. Anything else you're seeing on third down that is of any concern?
I think the average distance has been a little bit inconsistent. You'd love to be, and this goes into some of the conversation about third down efficiencies, I think, yeah. And this is just off the top of my head. I haven't looked at these numbers, but I think in that game, the average down and distance was a little bit longer than you'd like. So some of those third downs weren't as easy to convert. Right. You know, talking about that one that was called back to, from Trey Wallace, that was a third and seven.
I'll add to that, of the nine third downs they had, only three were of 4 yards or less. So you may continue.
And one of those, Aller completed by going fully through his progressions and finding Khalil Dinkins on the backside for a critical first down under pressure. These are, you know, the combination of the factors that he's been able to work through so far are why I'm so positive on that. But then you think about the other one. It was the three and out to end the game in the fourth quarter last week. It was third and seven or something like that. Maybe it was third and nine, and they threw 54 yards down the field to Trey Wallace. So that was a shot play on third down. So that goes into if they had called something different to just try and get the conversion as opposed to we're going to try and end the game here, maybe those numbers look a little bit different. But it speaks to the aggressiveness and the efficiency of the explosive plays in the offense, which you'll take that over 90% completion percentage, which is what he had through two games, but a lack of explosive plays in a meaningful way that consistently sustained throughout the season.
Andy Koltunicki has talked about getting the ball into the hands of his top playmakers. Two of them happen to be Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. We know what the running numbers are, but Allen caught a touchdown pass in the victory over West Virginia. Singleton caught one in the victory over Bowling Green. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing of the two running backs in the pass game when needed?
Well, Catron is what Catron is, which is he came to Penn State a professional running back from like a baseline skill set of knowing how to read, knowing how the intuition to run, and having great hands. So it's a continuation for Catron Allen of excellent play. But to me, the development of Nick Singleton into a complete back from all of those facets where he's now closer to the mental player that Catron Allen has been this whole time has been a difference maker. And especially as a receiver, to catch that touchdown pass between two defenders in the end zone, running a vertical route, those are things Nick Singleton would not have done years ago when he stepped on the field as a pretty raw five-star prospect. He's put in so much work. I know you've seen it more than the rest of us, but when we get to go and see practice, I've been watching him over the last couple of years of fighting the football and fighting the football and fighting the football and getting better and better to the point where now he looks like a much more natural pass catcher. I'd say the area they need to still improve is their pass blocking. That has caused some issues from some missed assignments that give free rushers or just kind of lacking some stoutness in the pocket where they haven't kept Aller as clean, but generally that's improved as well. Like, they are complete running backs in every sense of the word, which is why Penn State's having such an explosive start to the season, because the receivers did not play well overall against Bowling Green, and yet you still had Tyler Warren, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton able to generate those explosive plays and prop up the passing game in different ways. So it's a very glowing report on the offense so far, despite what, you know, maybe some of the consternation that game was closer than it should have been, in air quotes. I think Penn State still left maybe 21 points on the field in terms of passing plays that should have been completed to generate more points. That's pretty great when you scored 34, but you feel like there were still a ton of points out there.
What are your thoughts on the offensive line to this point through two games?
You were never going to replace Caden Wallace and Olufashinu one for one in this offense. But I'd say if there's one area that I am a little concerned, it is the tackle play and the offensive line in general. Just example here, there was one play, I believe it was one of the conversions that we've talked about ad nauseum so far in this conversation. It was an eight-man coverage situation, which means there's only three pass rushers, and Drew Shelton gave up a pressure in that situation. Right. That's concerning. So that's an area where they need to continue to develop those offensive tackles. They have the talent. Anthony Donko has been a difference maker in the run game. I think generally the offensive line and the way that this offense helps them from a execution standpoint of making their job a little bit easier from block angles and playing quick and getting to the second level with easier targets to hit. Vega Iwane, Sal Wormley, Anthony Donko, even Nolan Rucci has these high highs as a run blocker where they have difference-making blocks that generate these explosive plays and make it easier on the running backs who have improved as well. So the run game is protecting the pass game a little bit in these situations, and I think Aller's play, believe it or not, coming into this season, we would have said the offensive line has to block well or Aller can't play well, and the inverse is true. He has made up for some of these leaky pass protection situations with great pocket mobility and decisiveness with the football. So that's good in that sense, but you'd like to see some of those things improve from a pass protection standpoint. Generally, I think the interior of the line has been pretty good. So that's good that they have kind of a stout middle that's allowing Aller to maneuver. But yeah, I would say the thing that I would be concerned most about at this point is something we figured coming in, which is that their tackles would not play to the same level they did last year because both those guys were drafted in the top 90 picks of the draft.
Always a pleasure, my friend. It's great to hear from you, and appreciate everything you gave us today.
Awesome, Steve. Don't be a stranger. I always love talking.
Same here. Thanks. Look forward to having you back on. Thomas Frank Carr, fabulous work as always. Film breakdowns are just outstanding. We will come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.